Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Talking in the Rain. I'm your host, Saira Unju, and today I have Joely Triana with me. She's going to be introducing herself in a second, but before that, I want to let you all know that the Create Arts Festival is happening in Vancouver right now until the 28th in the Eastside Arts District and at Strathcona Park. And at Strathcona Park, you can take a flamenco workshop with Joely, both at 12:30 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. But yeah, enjoy the episode.
Hello, thank you so much for joining me. Would you like to get started with a little introduction? Tell everyone who you are, what you do, and then we can get into it.
My name is Joely Triana. I'm a flamenco dance artist, and I like to present my art through performance, but also through teaching.
Cool. And I read that you found this fire for flamenco after traveling to Spain, to Triana in Spain. And so can you tell me a little bit about that process? What was that like for you? And were you dancing before that, or did you kind of find that passion for dance during your travel there?
Hey, yeah. I've been dancing all my life. I started moving since I was very, very little, and then went into ballet and contemporary dance. So through high school, elementary, high school, I was in ballet, and then I went to the contemporary dance program at SFU and completed my Bachelor of Fine Arts. And after that program, I wanted to take flamenco classes because I finally had enough time not doing contemporary dance to try a different type of dance. So, yes, I always loved flamenco, watching flamenco, anything that was like a glimpse of flamenco, I was so excited about. I'm originally from Colombia, and so flamenco was of interest to me because I've heard it growing up. It was always something that I was curious about and loved ever since I was little. And when I started taking class, one of the first songs I heard was a song that said, Triana. So it said, Triana, Triana, que bonita está la Triana. And I was like, wait, that's my last name. What is going on here? So my last name, yes, comes from Spain. It is a neighborhood in Sevilla, and it's very famous for flamenco. And so my last name comes from my family, comes from Colombia. We've been there for many, many generations. And it's really hard to trace back if we originally come from Spain, from like actual documents and records. My family's very much a farming community background. So even just two or three generations back, it's hard to even trace documents alone because they were rural farming communities. So yeah, I was so excited, and I went, okay, I gotta go see, where is Triana? So I looked it up and, you know, started learning about Triana because of flamenco, and decided to go to Spain and go check out Triana, as well as other parts of Andalusia, and as well just to get to know where flamenco comes from. And yeah, it was just such a amazing trip full of watching tablaos. So tablaos are small, intimate dinner theater settings that allow for the artist to present their work. Usually it's like nightly, there's something going on. And again, it's close and personal. So unlike large theaters where you have hundreds or thousands of people in a theater, tabla settings are intimate of like 50 to 100 people. It's meant to be, so you can see the sweat dripping off, you can see the expression on their faces, you can hear every single sound. And so it has so much more intensity of energy because flamenco has a lot of emotion that it shows through not only the dancer, but the singer's voice, their face, the guitarist, the intricacies of their strumming, and of course, palmas, so clapping, and jaleos, which is words of encouragement. And one that is very famous and everybody knows is ole. So, what I loved about tablao and being in Triana, among other places where there is flamenco, and over these last 16 years that I've been practicing flamenco, the most important piece that I've learned is that flamenco is not just dance, it's not just music, it is a way of life, and all those pieces come together in an intricacy of an art form. It's also really rooted in the music. So the lyrics of the songs, what they mean, the interconnectedness of what the singer's doing, how the calls the guitar, how the guitar responds, how the jaleos, how those words of encouragement create energy and support for all of the musicians, how the palmas keep a compás, a steady heartbeat, and how the dancer reacts to all of those pieces, and also leads those pieces at times. It's a call and response. And so what I've learned along the way for myself and what I like to do in teaching is to help folks understand that how all those pieces come into play. And so that someone that's I've seen flamenco and just is new to it can have a better appreciation. They can come out of a workshop and feel like, oh, I have a better sense of what all this is, and it's so beautiful and complex, but it's authentic and powerful and emotional. And I like to teach it in a very easy to learn way to get a few simple steps, a few rhythms of clapping, to learn how to say ole, and to have a really good time, because that's the important part, is to have a good time. Flamenco is about community, it's about family. And so, creating that collective energy when you're in tablao, when you're in a show, the audience has just as an important role to play. Their calls, they can also say ole when they see something that really just made them feel something deep in their soul. When you're amazed by something and it just takes your breath away, instead of going, oh, you say ole. Instead, you exhale. Instead of inhale, you exhale ole, because that's how great it was. And so all those moments of like a genuine expression, whether it's as an audience, whether it's as a guitarist, a singer, a dancer, and those expressions are about joy, about celebration. They're also flamenco is also about sorrow and loss, and flamenco has It's a strong and deep history. Flamenco, if you think of the word flamenco, you probably think about a guitarist and a singer and a dancer. And yeah, those are the main pieces that most people think about. And it's usually a dancer with like a red dress and some flowers. So that very stylized expression of flamenco is only a few hundred years old. But the history of it becoming flamenco is, of course, like over 1,000 years old of history of mixing of cultures and music and art practices and life, life and history. So there's Indian, Arabic, Jewish, Moorish. Oh, there's so many mixes into flamenco just because of Spain and its regional context in Europe and in the Mediterranean. There's also influences from the Americas after colonization, the influences of Afro rhythms and from slaves in Cuba. And there's also influences of other indigenous rhythms that came through Cuba, Mexico, back to Spain and other Latin American countries as well. So it keeps growing, mixing. It's this beautiful, it's a beautiful mixture. And one more important thing is that flamenco is also about the Gitanos, the Romani people who have experienced and continue to experience hardship and persecution. So that hardship comes through in the music, in the lyrics, in the sorrow, in, yeah, that hardship of life. But through that, there's also celebration of love, of joy, of family, of community. And so when I teach a workshop and trying to help folks find all those emotions within them, each one of us has the wide range of emotions that we can express. And we can do that through movements that are soft and sustained, hard and powerful, fast and energetic, joyful and playful. So all those variations of movement, as well as music, as well as jaleos, words of encouragement, all come together to create flamenco.
That's so amazing. Talking about the jaleos, I have a question. So you mentioned that you started dancing with ballet and then went on to study, do your BFA in contemporary dance. And knowing how discouraging typical ballet teachers are, when you started dancing flamenco and you had these, people showing their amazements and you getting these words of encouragement as a dancer, was that something that you were surprised by, or because you had been interested in flamenco, it didn't really, I guess, make that big of a difference for you? Yeah, I'm curious about that difference between, because, yeah, there's a stark difference.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Growing up taking ballet class, there were many, many like times when I came home crying because I felt so discouraged and my leg wasn't high enough and my turnout wasn't big enough and all these things. My splits weren't splitty enough. I don't know. Wasn't as flexible as some of the other girls. So yeah, and I was tall. I've always been tall. So starting in ballet, it's always discouraging when you're always the tallest because then they just say, "Oh, to the back, you're in the back." And no, you're probably never going to do pas de deux. So just accept that and you're going to be in the back just doing the core ballet choreography. So, and yes, and of course the quietness of ballet. That even when you're in a professional theater and you're watching a ballet, they have all these beautiful dancers also giving their whole soul to the audience and just using the extremities of their bodies, hours and hours of of rehearsal. And it only is until kind of the end of certain acts that they get the applause. And yeah, it's you really yearn for that applause so much. You just like, I really hope I get an applause because it's so much energy that you put in your whole soul. But with flamenco, you don't have to wait till the end of the dance to already start to feel encouraged. Already from the moment you start, you can already get an ole from just standing and moving into the center. And with that presence and focus, someone can already call, wow, ole. Because we've all seen someone just take presence in a room or on stage, and you just go, wow, look at that. Look how they move, how they present themselves. That's cool, right? So those oles come and those words of encouragement. Ole is not the only one. There's also toma que toma. Toma is like go for it. What else? There's guapa, which means beautiful and like confident. There's asa. Eso es. Que baila bien, that you're dancing well. Someone actually can say that to you while you're dancing. And that little moment of like, oh, it's like a power boost. Like you just got a boost of battery, like a battery just jumped, boom. And that extra boost of power from an audience, from your own musicians and anyone else that's on stage. It's so powerful. It creates that supportive energy that says, we're all here for you and keep going. Like, go more. Show us what you can do. And not at the end, but like, show us now while you're doing it. And so, if there's moments of struggle through a dance, you also get an ole if you like power through it and you're giving it all you got and you're exhausted and you go to a final close, a closer where you're like, da 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 da. And maybe it's a close for the part of the dance. Then you get an ole. So you're like, oh, it was all worth it. My effort and energy and stomping, and I'm exhausted and I'm sweating and I can't even breathe, but it was all worth it. And it gives you a moment to be like, okay, I can do the next part. I've got it. I've got everyone with me. They are here for me, and I am here for them. And it's this energy that just passes back and forth to create something that belongs to everyone.
Do you find that flamenco, from this nature of people being able to, shout out words of encouragement and these more typically smaller performances, do you find that flamenco has more of a sense of community rather than the other dances that you've done?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it has. I think all dance communities, you can find a sense of community. It really does depend on teachers and leadership of those communities. I've been in very supportive ballet communities and contemporary dance communities, and I've also been in unsupportive ballet, contemporary dance communities, and other styles too. So I feel like yes, it's about finding your people, finding the community that is going to be there to support you and that you feel comfortable and safe to support others as well. But yes, flamenco has that because it's naturally with through jaleos and other forms. Again, it's not recorded music, so you always have to be in community with your musicians, with someone else that's going to do palmas. So it might be another dancer that says, hey, can you do the hand clapping, the palmas for me so that I can have a nice steady rhythm? And so there is a sense of community. In Vancouver, we're pretty small, but Vancouver flamenco community. We've got lots of flamencos, but it's still a very small tight-knit community, so you almost always know someone. Like, you always pretty much know everybody that's in the community. And some wonderful things is, like, sometimes we don't always have the props that we need. So, because they have to buy them from Spain. And so, you know, if someone says, oh, I need a red shawl. Does anyone have a red shawl? I only have a black or white shawl. Or I'm looking for a specific color flower for my hair. Does anyone have one of those? And because it's hard to get some of these items, a shawl or a fan, shoes, of course, are very much personal because they have to fit you exactly. But some of the other outfits, there's more of a sense of, like, sure, no problem, I'll lend it to you. And creates a different sense of community. Yeah, we take care of each other. The haleos definitely create that sense of support. And one great thing about the flamenco community here in Vancouver, and other places that I've gone to as well, is it's all ages. You can have a little flamenco dancing, all the way up to, like, into your late years of your life, and might not be able to do as much, but you can. I've seen some amazing performances of Spanish dancers and singers, and they sit in their chair and they can still dance in their chair, and their footwork still comes through, their emotion still comes through from their chair. And it's so lovely to see that intergenerational community of support. And definitely that's here as well, of also intergenerational levels as well in Vancouver. Anyone who's starting is always welcome and supported by the more intermediate and advanced students. And as those students go into careers like myself, where I've become an independent flamenco dance artist, I still very much work with my mentors, Oscar Nieto, Cassandra Lea, and Rosaria Anser, who, again, have gone through their careers and continue to teach and present and support the next generation of dancers.
I love that. I wanted to ask, talking about more about community from what you've talked about so far and what I've read about your work, you seem to value connection, empathy, and the sense of community in your art. Were these things important to you before you've switched, like you've gone on to your professional career, or have they kind of started to show themselves more and start to show themselves in your art as you started practicing it?
I'd say it's probably both. I've always been a very social person, so I'm an extrovert for sure. And so I'm always reaching out to, I'm a very quiet extrovert, which is probably why I dance, because I like to be, like, nonverbal extrovert. Although I do like to talk, but generally I like to just be and observe. And of course, dance. Anytime there's a chance to dance, I'm there and ready to dance. No matter what kind of dance, I'm ready to just have a good time. So yeah, I think for me, that social aspect of myself has always reached out to creating community, having a sense of friends, having a sense of community, and really valuing the need to feel like I'm contributing to community and that I'm being supported by a community, whether that's as small as, like, a close group of friends or a larger community. I live in a co-op, and I have for a long time, actually. I started living in the co-op when I was in high school, and then I got engaged and I got married and moved into the same co-op, but in a different house. My mom still lives in the co-op too, so we're neighbors. And that sense of community, of having neighbors, having folks that you've grown up with, that you've seen for decades. It's really important to me. So that just continued on through my search of dance communities, various types of dance communities. And I've always, as I said, been dancing. And so reaching out through different communities, I've danced swing, I've danced salsa, I've danced other forms like Caribbean dance, soca, dance hall, and always reached out to just more and more. I want to be with people. And so when I found flamenco, it was just a great fit, again, because of that sense of what I really found in flamenco that made it that extra push was that flamenco is an independent dance. You don't dance with a partner, and so you have to really have a sense of self and your own confidence, and you build your own strength, and you have to make your own noise. So that was a big challenge for me, was to be noisy. As I said, I'm a very like quiet extrovert. So then to become noisy and to like stomp and to like have a loud presence was a big growth for me. And so through that confidence and presence, it's really built my leadership skills and my confidence. So what that means is I feel like, okay, how can I help others push through those like shyness and insecurities by helping create that sense of community, of a space where it's supported, where flamenco, as I said, is multi-generational, it's all ages and all body types. Ballet especially was very much a very specific aesthetic, and as I said, I was always too tall, too tall, too curvy, and so now being able to embrace that tall and curvy aspect of myself and see how dancers, as they age, as their bodies change, in flamenco, there's never a wrong body. You just dance. Your body is your body and you dance. That's so beautiful too. So that's created a really sense of community for me. And so how can I be that leader to help provide that role model or an example of how to be a strong woman and how to have that confidence and to support other folks to find that confidence in themselves. And so that jaleos and the way that flamenco is about you, it's your expression of your truths, yourself, really, really comes across, has helped me kind of see why community is so important and really needed to support each other. So yes, I think I answered your question.
Yeah. And also, the more you speak, the more it's got me thinking maybe I should start learning flamenco because hear me out. I also did ballet growing up. I did it for like 15 years. Now I do it more chilled. I'm not as intense. I don't yelled by my teachers anymore. And I am also very extroverted. However, I despise partnered dances. So I can't, like, when I go to social dancing for like salsa and stuff, I get so nervous because I have never followed. I'm not used to it. I like being in charge of my own body, you know? And I've been told I have a loud presence. So I feel like flamenco is checking all the boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, do you teach somewhere? Do you teach more through workshops? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the last few years of my professional, I guess, career and development, I feel like I'm an emerging artist still. So, as an emerging artist over the last 5 years, I've been really focusing on performance and creation. I love choreography, so that was really a focal point for me over the last 5 years. And also the pandemic kind of required a self focus and just creating for myself. So it's now that I've started working through workshops, teaching workshops. So I don't teach a regular class, mostly because I also have a day job, so it gets a little bit tricky. And I do, as I said, my desire and my focus right now is in creation, but I do like giving workshops. And there are other dance teachers in Vancouver, and so there's places to take regular class, and there's also opportunities for me to give workshops. So that's what I've been focusing on. And the workshops that I've been focusing on are more of that like intro to flamenco, creating a space to learn about it, to learn about oneself through flamenco, to have a sense of what that means. And then if folks want to learn more or go deeper, there's definitely spaces in Vancouver to do so. Maybe in the future, I will be able to do my full flamenco all the time. What I like about workshops and what I've been focusing on is that kind of all abilities, all access. You don't have to commit to a schedule. You don't have to have flamenco shoes. We don't even need a studio. So for the Create Festival at Strathcona Park, I'll be teaching a workshop outdoors in the park with some music. And it's a sense, a way to invite the community to try flamenco so that it doesn't have to be straight to classes, regular classes where you have to buy your shoes and get a skirt and feel like, oh, this is a big deal. Am I ready for that? So I do like to be able to connect to community in that way and just share the art form. And sometimes that's all that people want. It's just a little bit of like, oh, I tried something new today and that was cool. And now I know a little bit more about flamenco. So if I hear about it, I might go check it out again. And so it's that introduction and welcoming folks into the art form, into our community, into our flamenco community in Vancouver, and leaving folks wanting more.
Yeah, I think I fully agree. Workshops are a great way to get into something that you might not know much about or you've been wanting to try but are scared of committing. So, yeah. And do you want to remind everyone when your workshop is for the Create Arts Festival?
Yes, my upcoming workshop at Create, which is the Create Festival, Eastside Arts Festival, is going to be at Strathcona Park on Saturday, July 27th. And there are two workshops, one at 12:30 and one at 2:30. Yes, looking forward to having anyone that's interested come and try it out. We'll be outdoors. In a beautiful setting, learning flamenco, no footwork, no complicated footwork. It's just bring yourself if whatever shoes you happen to be wearing, no skirt required at all, just whatever you want to wear. And we're going to look at all those things that I've talked about, some basic movements and steps that are easy. If you can walk, you can dance these steps. And if you have mobility issues, there's always ways to do them sitting so that we can do work on arms and hand movement and energy, just exploring that energy. So we're going to work on, arms, hand movement, clapping, some body movement, some footwork, very, very gentle again in runners. For anyone that wants to try and learn how to basically step in time in a rhythm, stepping in different types of rhythms and learning haleos. So there's always the need for haleo, and some of the great haleos that we have, of course, is ole. We have toma, que toma, asa. We've got agua, eso, and guapa. And so all those great things, words of encouragement to help support each other.
That's amazing. Your workshop being in the park, and then also, well, people listening won't be able to see it, but your Zoom background is the forest. This all brings me slash reminds me of one of your past works, which is called Arboles. And this was all, I guess, about being in nature, and you performed in nature. Do you wanna talk about this work a little bit, how you created it, and what was the process of performing that like?
Yeah, so árboles means trees. And so for me, the work came out of I started the creation process through the pandemic where we weren't able to go inside. So I started dancing outside, found a piece of wood and brought it to the park and started dancing outside. And just really thinking about the metaphor of trees, and how we have to look into our roots, the roots of our own family history, the roots of our community that we live in, the roots of the art form flamenco. So for me, it was a learning time as well of like studying about all the different song forms and history of flamenco, which is never ending. So it's roots. So reaching down into something that's deeper than yourself. And then finding strength. So to me, that was like the again, finding your independent strength. How do I find my own confidence? And then reaching out. So those are like the trunk, that strength, and reaching out to reach out to others, to reach out to create community. To reach out for goals and dreams and desires and to create something new. So to me, that sense of rebirth of spring when leaves are starting to come out and blossoms, all that is, yeah, that creation and desire and dreaming, and we need that motivation to move forward. And so I created that work and really felt like it needed to be outdoors. I mean, it started as in the creation process very much outdoors, but then I felt like I need to perform this outdoors. I need to relate myself to the land that we are on. It's indigenous unceded territories, and how do I as a settler, an invited settler here. How do I relate to that? My own history, and how am I dancing, performing, in that context? As well as thinking about trees in relation to our environment. For me, seeing over the last 5 years the massive changes to our landscape here in Vancouver, so much construction and new builds is a little bit like sometimes I'm like, oh no, another tree went down, another tree got cut down, another big tower got put up. So really focusing on that for me, and how do I relate to trees themselves? And then so that's like the physical trees, and then the metaphorical trees of community. And yeah, it's just so much more powerful to dance outdoors when that's my concept, because I can like see a tree and it actually impacts me in the moment, and it's emotional, And so that I have a different emotion when I'm outside than if I'm inside having to imagine a tree. It's already there. It reacts. It's a natural reaction to it, but has also been really great in performing outdoors is hearing other sounds that aren't indoors. So a crow or, a flock of geese going by, or a squirrel rushing by. Those type of sounds that are like, wow, yeah, those are added elements of, I guess, the environment that add a reaction to me when I perform. And I get so much more pleasure out of it because it's a reaction to our environment. I've performed in different locations throughout the city, so sometimes on a stage outdoors. So it could be I've done it outdoor stage at Granville Island. I've done it an outdoor stage in Victoria, but I've also done at Vines Festival on the grass, and with grass all over me, which has been great. Sometimes wobbly surfaces, so I have to adapt to that and go, okay, maybe it adds a little element of risk. And how do I incorporate not having a nice flat surface? I've brought my own wooden board out into nature, and it's a good way to remind myself wherever I go, what is the history of this specific location? Whose land am I on? Really helping me to learn also about the different Indigenous histories throughout our province and wherever I go. Yeah, it's just been a really piece that keeps growing. So I'll be performing it again at the Fringe Festival this year. Hey, yeah, it hasn't, I think they haven't announced it yet, but I'm announcing it. Whatever. So it'll be an outdoor showing as well, the Fringe Festival. So really excited about that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really exciting. Yeah. And perfect, because I was going to ask if you still perform this piece, and there we go. You do. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining me. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our time,
Thank
but it's
you.
been, yeah, really great talking to you. And I learned so much about flamenco, you and myself somehow. And yeah, I hope your workshops go smoothly and fun. And yeah, have fun at the Fringe too.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to share my artwork, to share flamenco, and to create community.